Jesus started a scandal. Jesus surprised his world by doing something that most preachers of his day would not do. And it caused a scandal. What did Jesus do that caused such a scandal? You'll find out today as we take a look in the book.
Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by the exciting Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will bring you a series of messages out of the book of Mark. So get close to your radio and listen now as we take a look in the book.
Praise you, dear God, for all of the many wonderful blessings you have bestowed upon us. Thank you, dear God, for this meeting. You have called us to worship you. And Lord, we do pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, for you are my strength, you are my redeemer. Besides you, there is no other. Speak to our hearts this morning in a mighty way so that the lost can be saved, the saved can be encouraged, and backsliders can come on back to you. Holy Spirit, just have your way. We'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory. For it's in Jesus' wonderful name we do pray. Amen. Come on and put your hands together. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Lord have mercy. Man, the Holy Spirit is showing up in this place. Lord have mercy. Old folks used to say, if it's going to get any better, I'm not going to be able to stand it. Lord have mercy. For those of you who have your Bibles, open with me to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. All right, Mark chapter 2. And I want to look at verses 13 through 17. Mark chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. And you'll find these words. Are you with me, by the way? All right. And you'll find these words, beginning with verse number 13 of Mark chapter 2. It says, and he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of customs, and said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eat with the publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he said to them, that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I want to continue this lit mini series that we are in, and that's entitled What Nobody But Jesus Can Offer You. And so this is part two, What Nobody But Jesus Can Offer You. Now, if that's too hard, just say, nobody but Jesus. So high five somebody and tell them that's what the pastor gonna talk about. What nobody but Jesus can offer you. Today I want to look at the story of Jesus calling Levi, who we know as Matthew, to be one of his disciples. Now, this is a scandalous story. Jesus, the rabbi, the best man in town, has called one of the worst men in town to be one of his disciples. Now, if they had Facebook back in Jesus' day, this story would be all over Facebook. Because this story here really put Jesus on the religious radar. When Jesus went over to Matthew's house and called Matthew to be one of his disciples, the critics came out. All of Jesus' critics began to start criticizing him because they felt like that Jesus was not holy enough. He was not righteous enough. Jesus is hanging out with publicans and sinners. Now, if Jesus would come today, it still would be a scandalous story, but they would criticize Jesus today for being too righteous or for being too holy, because Jesus was showing up at the sinners' parties, but he wasn't showing up at a lot of preachers' parties. So it still would hit Facebook today, but for a different reason. But we often miss the scandalous nature of the story, because we often see this story from a 21st century and a 20th century point of view. And a 20th or 21st century point of view, it's hard to tell a Christian from a non-Christian. Yeah, most Christians and non-Christians watch the same stuff on television, listen to the same music, go to the same places. They only different is on Friday night they party at the nightclub, but on Sunday they show up at the church. So the only difference is that the location just done changed. But we gotta see this story from a first century viewpoint. Can we do that today? As a matter of fact, I want you to see it out of Matthew's eyes. If you're really going to get this story, you got to see it out of Matthew himself's eyes. Let me see, can I help you this morning? We need a Matthew. I'm going to try to dramatize it. Come here, Matthew. Yeah, you look like you could be a Matthew. Amen. Matthew is the tax collector, and he's going to sit in his tax collector booth. Go sit behind over there in your tax collector booth. Now, Matthew, he's got the best location in town to set up his tax collector booth, because he's sitting there on the Galilean road. We missed this story because we think that the story took place down there in Judea, down on one of those Judean roads. Bible scholars say that the Judean road used to lead to nowhere, but the Galilean road used to lead everywhere. In other words, this man was at a best location because folks from Assyria coming out of Damascus would have to pass by Matthew in order to go on down through Palestine on their way to Africa, Egypt. Or if they was over here in the Sea of Galilee, after they finished fishing, they would have to get out of their fishing boat, and the first person they're going to bump into is the tax collector, and he's going to charge them based on the amount of fishes that they caught. Or if they are coming from the Mediterranean Sea, soon as they get off the boat there at the Mediterranean Sea and they hit that Galilean road, guess who the first person they're going to bump into? They're going to bump into Matthew. Or if you're coming from Jerusalem on your way through Galilee, guess who you're going to have to see? You got to see the tax collector. So if you was bringing product from the east going to the west, you had to bump into the tax collector. And so the tax collector would charge you regardless what you had. If you had some sheep, he's going to charge you for your sheep. If you got 5 sheep, he's going to charge you for your 5 sheep or 10 sheep or your herds of sheep. He's going to charge you for every little goat that you got. He's going to charge you for your ox. He's going to charge you for your ox cart. He's going to charge you for your wagon. He's going to charge you for the amount of wheels you got on your wagon in order to travel the road. He's going to just charge you for traveling in a row. You done heard of a toll tax, hadn't you? Or somebody sitting at the toll booth, hadn't you? For just traveling that road there, you got to see Brother Matthew over there. Matthew was a hated man. He was one of the most hated men in town. Because he would charge you for anything and everything. And if you could not pay, he would seize your property. He would seize your donkeys. He would seize your animals. He would seize your oxes. He would seize your sheep, your goat. He would even seize your house. He would even take the clothes off your back and didn't care. And so folks, they hated Matthew and tax collectors because tax collectors were some of the richest people in town, and they was rich at poor people's expense. They was hated people. They put them right up there with murderers. They put them right on the same level with thieves and robbers and stuff. Matter of fact, you done heard of highway robbery, hadn't you? That's where it come from there. Yeah, because he was hitting them right there on the highway, robbing people. And there was nothing that you could do about it because it was sanctioned in the name of the Roman Empire. See, the way this thing would work, Rome would say, now we're just going to tax them for a certain amount, but we're not going to pay you anything. You're going to have to tax them a little bit more if you want something. And so they just left it up to the tax collector to charge how much it's going to be. So one day you're traveling the road and your toll may be $1, but the next day on your return trip, it may be $5. And it was nothing you could do about it. As long as the Roman government got their money, they didn't care how much he charged you. So he was one of the most hated men in town. But I believe that Matthew came to the point of hating his job. I believe he started hating his job Because, see, Matthew, he was not the richest man in town. He was working for the richest man in town, the chief tax collector. You done heard of the chief publican, the chief tax collector. You done heard of a man like Zacchaeus in the Bible, who was the chief tax collector. The chief tax collector, he normally was the richest man in town. And the way the chief tax collector got his money was through the tax collector. See, you had two kind of tax collectors. You had the chief tax collector, and then you had the other tax collectors. And the chief tax collector, he was the most crooked man in town. So you was really working for a thief. You was working for a robber. Matter of fact, you was working for a mob boss. You was working for the syndicate. This was a part of the organized crime. Because what the chief publican, you could never satisfy him. He didn't trust the other tax collectors. So regardless what they bought him, it was never enough. And so regardless how much money you bought, you could never satisfy him. And he would tell you, go get me some more money. And so in other words, he was putting the squeeze on the tax collectors. And what did the tax collector do? They would turn right around and they would put the squeeze on the people. Even if he didn't want to put the squeeze on the people, because the chief publican was putting the squeeze on him, he would turn around and put the squeeze on the people. Oh, he hated the job. But how else was he going to get his money? You know, starting out early on, he liked it, his job. Yeah, when you first start making your own money, you like your own, you like your job. Even if you got to get your money by any means necessary, you like the money. Tell the truth and shame the devil, somebody. You like the money. But after a while, it just get old. And see, after a while, even though you got the nicest clothes, the nicest transportation, staying in one of the nicest houses, after a while, it get old to you. Because you are tired of the system. Are y'all going to go with me this morning? You're tired of working for a mean old boss man. You're tired of every day having to see that mean old boss man. See, folks are mad at you, but they ought to be mad at the mean old boss man, but they ain't mad at the mean old boss man because they don't ever see the mean old boss man. But who do they always see? They always see you. And it ain't nothing he can do about it. In other words, he feels somewhat trapped because he can't get out of the mob. It's hard to get out of the mob once you done got in because you know some of the secrets and you're going to almost have to pay for it with your own life in order to get out. And then where you going to go once you get out? Because the whole community know about you and they hate you. So you are hated up here and you're hated down there. So you ain't got nowhere to go. There is no way out. And so you just continue to stay in the system. But you are tired of the system. As a matter of fact, if you could really have your way, you would tell your boss in the words of the old country and western singer, take this job and, oh, you done heard it, huh? Take this job and shove it. Yeah, why? Because like B.B. King say, the thrill is gone. It ain't fun no more doing this job. And I believe he came to the place of hating itself. Yeah, because what is Matthew's birth name? It's Levi. Levi. Levi is a Bible name. Jacob named his son Levi. See, people name their children biblical names because they want them to grow up and be godly. men's and women's. Yeah. See, if you would ask Matthew when he was a little boy, what are you going to be when you grow up? Matthew wouldn't have told you, I'm going to be part of the mob. I'm going to be part of the syndicate. I'm going to be working for a mob boss. I'm going to be having shakedowns going on in the community. I'm going to lead the shakedowns. I'm going to be a thug. I'm going to be a thief. I'm going to be a robber. Matthew would have never thought in his wildest imagination that his life would turn out like this. Oh, Matthew would have never thought. He would have never thought. In other words, Matthew done let his parents down. He done let his community down. He done let his friends down. But he done let himself down. How many little boys want to grow up and be a mobster? How many girls want to grow up and be a prostitute? Your children don't want to grow up being prostitutes and pimps, but sometime through the challenges of life, you'll find yourself tempted by sin, and you'll find yourself getting in sin, and the thing about getting in sin, you'll end up going where you never thought that you'll go, and you end up staying or a whole lot longer than what you ever planned to stay. Oh, Matthew, I believe he was a hated man. He started hating his job, but I think he hated himself. But then Jesus showed up that day. Now, who is Jesus in Matthew's eyes? Oh, I know what you will say. You'll say, he's the Savior, he's the Messiah, he's the Christ, he's my Lord. But in Matthew's day, Jesus was looked upon as being the rabbi. The rabbi was the highest position in Israel. The most highest position that you could have in Israel was to be a rabbi. That's what the little boys wanted to grow up to be. They wanted to grow up to being a rabbi. As a matter of fact, a Jewish parent, when a child gets 5 years old, they will stuff their children with the Bible, particularly the Torah. The Torah was the first five books of the Bible. See, people in Israel, they worship the Bible. As a matter of fact, if they would take the Torah and they would go out there in the street with the Torah, you would see people jumping up and down and screaming and hollering because he would hold up the Torah and the people would shout when they would see the Bible being held up because the Bible is revered in their society. And they would stuff their children with the first five books of the Bible. They would get those boys to memorize the first five books of the Bible. And hopefully, by the time they get to be a teenager, they could go and run and follow a rabbi and get that rabbi to mentor them and get that rabbi to teach them that one day they can be like a rabbi. And their son could be somebody special in the community. No parent wants their child to grow up and be a thug and a thief and a robber, a pimp, a prostitute. We want our children to be somebody. And in Israel, if you really want to be somebody, be a rabbi.
If you would like a copy of the message you have just heard in its entirety, would you please call the church at 972-257-3766. Again, that is 972-257-3766. Or visit our new website at alookinabook.com. Again, that is alookinabook.com. And come on and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at the exciting Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And until next time, let's take a look in the book.